Are you guys with me or are you tired? So that means you're not with me? Are you guys letting me down on our deal? Are you letting me down on your deal?
No.
You better not be letting me down on your deal, because I'm an old man and I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to bring it. You guys ready to have everything? I'm gonna give you everything I got right here. You ready? So last night, some of you guys decided that you were all in your relationship with Jesus. Some of you guys decided that you were gonna give him everything that you are for the rest of your life. And some of you guys had already done that, and when you went back to your cabin, you're like, no, I am all in, Jesus. I am following after you with all of my heart. And when you made that decision, maybe you prayed with somebody. When I came and I fell in love with Jesus, I remember I prayed with a friend of mine and I got down on my knees like this and I closed my eyes and I prayed, Jesus, save me. I'm all in. And I don't know what that means or what that'll all look like. But from here on out, I'm all yours for the rest of my life. I want to follow you. And when I opened my eyes and I stood up, you know what was different? Me. But only me. You know what was different? When you decided you would come to Jesus, when you closed your eyes, you bowed your head, and you said, Jesus, I'm in, I'm all in, I'm gonna follow you for the rest of my life, and then you opened your eyes, you know what was different? Only you. Nothing else. See, sometimes this catches us off guard, because when we come to Jesus, the world is not all of a sudden put back together and perfect. Bad stuff still happens. The world's still broken. Stuff is still messed up, and therefore messed up stuff still happens. Do you know that? I mean, as true as that song is that we've been singing all week, you're never gonna let me down, you're never gonna let me down, too. If we're honest, sometimes it really feels like it. Sometimes it feels like we just hit rock bottom and everything around us is falling down. And so the questions are not, will we still have trouble in this world after we come to Jesus? The question is not, will broken stuff still happen? Will bad things still take place? The question is not ever, will we never find ourselves desperate again? The real question is this: where will you turn when the world proves to you that it's still broken? Where will you turn when the world proves to you that it's still messed up? Will you keep trusting God when everything around you is falling down and collapsing? Will you keep trusting God when you find yourself desperate and you don't know what the answer is, and you don't know when the end of all the pain and the hurt is happening, and you can't see the end of it? Will you still keep trusting God? That's the real question. When you said last night or the time before that, when you decided, I'm gonna follow Jesus for the rest of my life, when you made that commitment, friends, Jesus didn't trick you into doing that. He promised those of us who would choose to follow him in this world, you'll still have trouble. He promised that. But he promised it would be worth it. He promised that following him was better. So the real question is not, will bad stuff happen? The real question is, will we keep trusting him? And this is where we find Saul. His whole world is falling down around him. He is lost, he is broken, and he is desperate. And we saw that. We saw that in the video. He's losing it. He is obsessed with killing David. Nothing else matters. Only David. Only destroying David. And that's where we find him in 1 Samuel 22. That's where, if you guys want to turn there and park there, that's where we're going to be in this story. And David's been on the run from Saul. Saul is obsessed with David. He wants to kill David more than he wants to even rule his country or provide for his people. He wants to kill David. And David's on the run for 10 years, a decade of running from this psycho who wants to kill him. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And so David, he finds some rest. He goes and he stays with some priests in a town called Nob. They feed him and they give him some weapons, and that's where we find David. But there was this guy there that sees it happen. This guy named Doeg. Doeg. Can you guys say Doeg?
Doeg.
I like saying that when I was preaching this with my church. I love saying Doeg. Anyway, there's this creepy little guy, right? I kind of picture him with like a hunchback. That's how I picture him, and he's off in the shadows, and David comes and he eats some food and he gets some weapon. I just picture Doeg like just creeping, just spying on him, and he saw the whole thing happen. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 6 of chapter 22. It says, "Now Saul heard that David was discovered down there in Nob where he was eating his food, and the men were with him. Saul was sitting at Gibeah under a tree with his spear in his hand." You kind of picture him just grinding his spear and grinding his teeth, and he's just this evil look in his eye, and all his servants were standing about him. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, people of Benjamin," and this is his family. These are his people. He says, "Will the son of Jesse give every one of you? Will David give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you rich that all of you have conspired against me?" He's crazy. He's crazy. He's just like, all of you guys hate me. All of you guys are against me. What, did he promise that he would make you rich? Is that why you guys hate me now? And he says, "No one discloses to me that my son makes a deal with David. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up against my servant against me to lie in wait as he has it this day." One writer writing about Saul here says, this is the ravings of a lunatic. He's lost his mind. He's just so paranoid. He's just feeling sorry for himself, and everybody is just against him, against him, against him. And at this point, you guys, it's kind of easy to feel sorry for Saul, right? He was this king chosen by God to rule over God's people, right? He had all the potential in the world, and now he's sitting there grinding his spear, trying to kill this young kid who has never done wrong by him whatsoever. It's easy to feel sorry for him. I mean, he's like losing his friends. He's losing his family. He's becoming more and more isolated. But really, he's self-destructing, right? He is like tearing himself apart at this point. Even the people who are standing next to him and still with him, he's like, "You guys all hate me. You guys are turning against me for David." And often this is our story as well. When we find that stuff's not going our way, Instead of turning towards people that will help us, instead of running to church or to youth group or to teachers that are sitting around you, things that could actually help us, we run from them. We cut ourselves off. We start going through something that's painful, and instead of running to someone that could help us, we run away from them. And therefore, it just makes it all last longer and longer and longer. But all of this teaches us something, and I want you to see this. Saul keeps running away from God. But I want you to see something. All of this begins to teach us that God alone is who we should trust in our times of desperation. We need him. You need him. Guys, can everybody look at me? Look at me. If you hear me say nothing else tonight, I want you to hear me say this. You need God, because those times are coming when everything else seems to like it's breaking down all around you. It might be right now. Maybe you are walking through that currently, right now. But if you're not, I promise you, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day where it's gonna be really, really hard to sing, "You're Never Gonna Let Me Down." And at that moment is when you need to be surround yourself with people who will remind you who God is, what God has done, and that he will not leave you. And guys, if you are here today, maybe you are. The thing is, I hate assuming things about anybody, about anyone, anytime. Maybe right now you find yourself in a time like this, where you feel desperate, where you feel like, man, I don't really know what the answer is, and I don't really know when all of this stuff is gonna end. Would you guys take these words to heart tonight? God alone is who you can trust when you are feeling that desperate. Go and talk to somebody. Don't leave this camp. What a crazy cool opportunity to find somebody that loves Jesus, that can remind you about who God is, that he is still for you, with you, even in those times where you feel most desperate. There's some people around you that love you deeply, love you enough to give you this week of their lives and all of their energy and sit there right now exhausted because they love you. What an amazing opportunity to go and seek help during a time when you feel desperate. Don't let it grow and build and get worse before it's too late. Because sometimes in these times where we feel desperate, the times when the world reminds us that it's screwed up, sometimes stuff gets broken that cannot be repaired. Things are done that cannot be undone. And that's what happens with Saul. That's what happens with Saul when he finds the priests in 1 Samuel 22. He goes and he finds the priests that help David. And the little hunchback, Doeg, he's not really a hunchback. Like, that's not in the Bible. I don't want any of you guys being like, hey, where's the hunchback part? Like, I made that up. That's not really in there. But he comes and he tells Saul, hey, I saw that guy that you were looking for. And Saul goes down to the priests at Nob and he kills all of them. All of them. And he doesn't just stop. 85 priests he slaughters. But he doesn't just stop there. He destroys an entire Israelite town. Women and children, he destroys all of them. In Saul's desperation, he not only refused to go to God for help, he is actually now murdering God's people. You guys see this? It didn't start like that. Remember, it just started with like, yeah, I'll kind of obey you like a little bit, but I also want some stuff for myself and I want people to like me. It didn't start with him murdering people and it started just so small. And then he got all the way to the end and now you see him murdering an entire town of God's people. Do you see how that happened? Now he has broken what cannot be repaired. He is broken and refuses to be repaired. He refuses to go to God. But one priest gets away and he runs to David. And in verse 22 and 23, listen to what it says. He goes and he tells him what happened and David says this, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, listen to this, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. David says, it's my fault. It's my fault. But then he says, stay with me. Don't be afraid. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. With me, you shall be in safekeeping. What David does here is he takes full blame for Saul's actions. Do you see that? Did David kill anybody? Did David sin against anybody at this point? No, but he says, it's my fault. I'll take on this cost. And then he tells him, your enemy is my enemy. He says, the person seeking after you is seeking after me. So you stay with me, you'll be safe. And I don't know if that's like the most comforting thing that you would want to hear from somebody, right? The dude trying to kill you is the same dude trying to kill me. Hang with me, we'll be safe. Right? Like that doesn't really sound like the best advice, except that David knows who he is. He knows who God is, and he knows you will be safe with the king. And you guys, this is very similar to Jesus. Jesus calling his followers to give up everything they have. Jesus said, if you can't give up everything you have, you are not worthy to follow me. But the reason that Jesus can say this, the reason he can look at anybody that wants to follow him and say, pick up your cross daily, die to yourself daily and follow me. The reason he can say this is because he knows who he is. He knows that following him might not always be the easiest. He knows that following him might not always be the most comfortable, but he knows it'll be worth it. He knows it'll be worth it. He knows that it will always be best. And guys, can you hear me say that to you guys? I would never promise you that following after Jesus is easy. I would never promise you that it is always the safest, and I will not promise you that it will not keep your heart from being broken pretty regularly. Being a pastor is like one of the most humbling and most heartbreaking things that I could have ever stepped into. It's not easy, dude. It's not safest, but I'll say from this side, it'll always be best. It'll always be worth it. Not because I'm making that promise to you, but because Jesus, without batting an eye, said, hey, you got to give up everything you have in order to follow after me. And we're starting to see that David gets this. See, we're seeing here that it's the end of Saul's kingdom, and we're seeing the beginning of David. But who is it? Who is it that is drawn to David? This guy that is trusting God. Who is it that's drawn to him? Look up at verse 1 and 2 in chapter 22. This is my favorite part. My favorite part of David's kingdom. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam, which means refuge. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in their soul gathered to David, and he became commander over them. I love that. Who was drawn to David? The desperate. They wanted to come to him. They were tired, they were bitter, they were fed up with Saul not trusting God, running from God, just trying to kill David, and they came to David. Who could ask for more than a king, than someone who identifies with their weakness, with their desperation? And around 1,000 years later, a different king would come, and he would gather to himself all the tired and the desperate, and Jesus would say to us, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And Jesus said, come to me, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. And you know what's crazy about when Jesus was here? Is that that's who came to him. The beat up, the tired, the desperate. The sinners came to him. Those who were outwardly sinful people, those were the ones that came to Jesus, the desperate people. These were the ones that found their way to him. This is who surrounded Jesus when he taught. These are the desperate people that found in Jesus that God alone is the one that they could trust. But the desperate ones are the ones that can look up at Jesus on a cross and they can understand that they needed that to happen. That they know that they had settled for less, that they had sinned, that they had rebelled, they had disobeyed God, and they could look up at Jesus at a cross and say, yeah, that's for me. I need that. You know who had a really hard time coming to Jesus? The people that thought they had it all together. The people that thought they could close their eyes, say a prayer, and like everything is perfect, and everything's back together, and then they were perfect, and looked down on everybody that couldn't get it all together. They had a really hard time coming to Jesus. They had a really hard time with the cross. So what about you guys? What about you guys? Where will you turn when you are most desperate? I want to ask you guys that. You know, and it's weird. I'll be honest with you. It's weird sometimes with your guys, with sixth graders. Because sometimes you don't believe me that there's gonna be that time that's coming that's gonna be really hard, that's gonna test you, where you're gonna feel desperate. But it's coming and it's there. And so I want you to think about this question. Can you think about it? You guys still with me? I'm almost done. Where will you turn when you are most desperate? Will you rely on your own strength, your own power, your own goodness? Will you trust yourself? Or will you turn to Jesus, the one who promised rest for your soul and shed his blood to purchase that rest? Guys, I want when we are most desperate, let us turn to Jesus. Let us not be like Saul. But let us be the people that would turn to Jesus. When so many lesser things promise you relief that it cannot provide, when lesser things beg you to settle for less than God, when so many other things become like appealing when we are desperate, let us refuse them all. Let us turn to Jesus and trust him only. That's my invitation to you guys tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my friends. I pray, God, that you would draw them to Jesus. You would help them to believe. You would help us to believe. God, not that coming to you puts the world back together yet, but God, that following you is better. Trusting in you is better. Trusting in you is worth it. God, let us not turn to our own strength. Let us not trust in ourselves when we are most desperate, but help us to trust you. Help us to leave tomorrow dead set on following after Jesus, trusting in Jesus, not just when stuff's put together and easy and simple, but at all times, even in our most desperate, help us to trust in Jesus. I pray that, God, in his name. Amen.